You're listening to the Midwest Indie Media Center podcast, featuring the news, views, and opinions of the press peoples, regionally and from around the world. This is the Midwest Indie Media Center radio podcast. Welcome everybody to another edition of the Midwest Indie Media Radio Hour. I'm your host, Zach Riot. And of course, all of you guys know, I was not doing a show last week. So this week, we pick up to where I was supposedly left off a couple weeks ago. And once again, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. We picked up many stations that are broadcasting this fine and intelligent radio program. I'd like to thank Berkeley Liberation Radio for their continuing broadcast of the Midwest Indie Media Radio Hour. And also, I'd like to pick up our new affiliate, KDX Radio, which is an online independent media radio station. Thank you all, including all those at AINFOS Radio Project, for allowing the podcast of this, along with our podcast, the Midwest Indie Media podcast, and where we'll be basically on a witch hunt to find more stations that have open time slots to broadcast the Midwest Indie Media Radio Hour. And before we get into this program, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you know on a few things that we will be talking about before this program begins. First of all, we're going to get into a couple of different protests that's going out of the state of California. One on the Chevron, the protests in Chevron at their headquarters in San Ramon. And also out in San Francisco, many of the students are protesting the raise in their tuition. And right along with that, we'll also be getting into some commentary on the 9 arrested individuals who were protesting by doing a sit-in that was targeting Senator Schumer over the healthcare proposals. And last but not least, I'll also be getting to some news on Barack Obama and his war speech. There are many, many questions to be answered about that, and we'll begin some perspective analysis on that. You are listening to Midwest Indie Media Radio Hour, and I'm Zach Riot.
Wake up in the morning, coffee in my cup, it wakes me up, motivated on a rainy day, on a day-to-day, triple shots okay, but I'd rather have a double shot, more foam, no drip, please, steam, 180 degrees, milk 2%, caffeine king, I'm so pumped, start my day like what, no decaf, French press, fair trade, I need another cup, I need another cup, you need another cup, I need another cup, cause I ain't had enough, I need another cup. I need another cup, cause I ain't had enough. Check my barista flow, pull shots of the hype, have it straight or put it on ice. I stay on the wake up, stack my cake up, player. You don't make sense like Yao Ming trying to make a layup. I know you fiend for the hype and the music, caffeine is clean, espresso is fresh, shot of Bailey's on my grown man, I guess. My cup's half full, ice latte cause I'm so cool. So fresh, but what you expect when you fucking with smooth and it's just like, ooh, give it up. fresh espresso. Be smooth, Rick Rude. We get busy.
You're listening to the Midwest Indie Media Radio Hour with your host, Zach Riot. I'd like to thank all of you guys for listening to this program once again. And also like to thank Captain Fred for his wonderful inspiration to this broadcast. Okay, well, we're going to start off with our news on the Chevron headquarters in San Ramon, where 31 people were arrested for protesting. Chevron, the largest and most polluting corporation in the state of California, was targeted by environmental activists on December 7th for undermining efforts to combat global warming. Demonstrators said that Chevron is using its immense financial resources to influence federal environmental policy. They interrupted business as usual at Chevron by blocking entrances to the corporation's headquarters in San Ramon. Police arrested 31 demonstrators, who were cited and released. Kathy Conkell of Mobilization for Climate Justice said, quote, "By working to derail effective climate change policy in the U.S., Chevron is undermining the UN climate negotiations, where other nations are looking to the U.S. to make binding commitments to reduce emissions." Climate preservation activists report that Chevron's opposition to significant action on climate change is in line with its history of environmental and human rights abuses in committees and communities all over the world. The protests and nonviolent civil disobedience was organized by a coalition representing more than 30 Bay Area social justice, environmental justice, and human rights groups, and was timed to coincide with the UN climate negotiations in Copenhagen in Denmark. The San Ramon Chevron demonstration was one of many protests this week, both nationally and globally. And as you guys know, that there is ongoing coverage from Democracy Now! And many other independent media outlets of the climate talks in Copenhagen. President Bush came there not too long ago and he made his speech. And there are many, many questions to be answered about that. And that and more will be answered and expressed about later on in today's program. Now, there are many students in California and across the United States who are noticing a huge increase in tuition fees to attend their college. So a lot of students are beginning to protest. And basically, in California, a lot of the universities are sharply increasing their tuition, and it's upsetting a lot of students. And there's a pretty popular form of protest in which a lot of these students are using, and it's by locking their dorms and libraries. Well, the students are occupying business as usual in a building at SFSU. Students occupied the business building at San Francisco State University before dawn Wednesday, December 9th, to protest higher tuition, massive layoffs, hundreds of classes cut, and millions for administration salary. Hundreds of students linked arms at various points throughout the day in solidarity against the complete dismantling of the education system in California. Students drew connections between layoffs and cuts in other public sectors, billions spent on war, and millions of people without health care. Into the evening and early morning hours, solidarity demonstrators maintained human blockades at the four doors to the building. On the inside of the doors, occupiers had stacked desks and chairs and zip-tied them together. At one door, dozens danced to a sound system. At another, people played guitar and drummed. Around the building, people bundled up against the cold of the night and the light rain that fell. Just after 3 a.m., reports of police movement in the area got everyone into their feet, locking arms at the doors. At 3:45 in the morning, police in riot gear rushed the building, breaking a side window to gain entry. As occupation hit 24 hours, at about 4 a.m., police were arresting occupiers who had retreated to a single room on the second floor. Those blockading one of the doors on the outside were forcibly removed so that police could clear the way for arrested occupiers to be removed from the building. Solidarity demonstrations on the 19th Street continued for another 2 hours as protesters attempted to block police vans from moving with arrestees and later blocked early commuter traffic. Including occupiers and those outside, over 30 people were arrested, cited, and later released. Also in protest, 9 arrested at sit-in targeting Senator Schumer. Health proposals and professionals, patients demand expansion of Medicare. That and more is coming up next after this break. You're listening to Midwest Indie Media Radio Hour with Zach Riot.
The soul music, keep the soul moving, the soul movements of my body at its truest, so gon' do it, I'm gon' use it to feed my body with substance, so I can use it to weed my mind if it's nothing. F is to shine light bright as the sun. All that we can find around type, time has begun. Like what?
To channel our mood and dance with our hands to the moon, focusing on the path of my oxygen, consoling. I'm in the rap that's a part of me, and through it I live on.
I need the soul in my music and the music in my soul. It's the only true safe place with all that I can do. I need the soul in my music and the music in my soul. It's the only true safe place and all that I can do. Now we gotta bring it. I said, now we gotta bring it
back, back. The whole said, world said we gotta bring it back, back.
One more time,
music,
said,
and we gotta bring it back.
Trapeze, orders across colors. sing them out, roaring applause. I'm up and at 'em, running track on the rings of Saturn. And rapping is madness, but I imagine these rappers ain't a challenge. I'm trying to find a balance, a master pen and scale. I'ma give you that real, real soul, and I will till I'm gone. Chicken, like you know the grill should. Come on, pick up.
I will do my thing.
Making that real good. Feel good. Chicken, like you know the grill should.
I will do my thing.
Making that real good. Feel good. Chicken, like you know the grill should. Come on, pick up.
I will do my thing.
Making that real good. Feel good. Chicken, like you know the grill should.
You listen to Midwest Intermediate Radio Hour with your host, Zach Riot. I'm going to go ahead and play some audio excerpts from the Pittsburgh Intermediate Radio.
Welcome to this week's edition of Rust Belt Radio, the Pittsburgh Independent Media Center's weekly review of the news from the grassroots, news overlooked by the corporate media. On today's show, corporate-funded cybersecurity research at Carnegie Mellon University, the efforts to save Braddock Hospital, an emergency rally in Pittsburgh against war escalation in Afghanistan, coverage of the Honduran elections, and more in our local and global headlines.
Rust Belt Radio is broadcast live from WRCT Studios every other Monday at 6 p.m. on 88.3 FM in Pittsburgh, and the program airs again on WRCT every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. We can also be heard weekly on the following stations: WNJR Washington 91.7 FM, WIUP Indiana 90.1 FM, and WOBC Oberlin 91.5 FM. We're also available on the internet, both on WRCT's live web stream at wrct.org and for download, stream, or podcast from our website at radio.indypgh.org. We now turn to local stories.
On Wednesday, December 2nd, 2009, an emergency protest was held at the Shenley Plaza in Pittsburgh, PA, as a response to President Obama's speech announcing plans for escalating the U.S. occupation in Afghanistan. Obama pledged to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan, in addition to the 17,000 that have already been deployed earlier this year. The demonstration, co-sponsored by the Thomas Merton Center Anti-War Committee, Pitt Students for a Democratic Society, Code Pink, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, Iraq Vets Against the War, and others, brought together a large crowd of people to voice their concerns about the latest troop increase. Rust Belt Radio was there to bring you some of the voices from the rally.
Obama says yes. We say no.
The Afghan war has got to go.
Hey, everybody. How are you out there? Thank you so much for coming down on this corner tonight, because I know that you're as pissed off as everybody else across the country.
Because some of you believe that Obama represented the reversal of Bush's war policies. Sadly, you were wrong.
In the 2008 election, Obama received over $1 million in campaign contributions from the defense industry, far more than his opponent, John McCain.
I'm here with Pitt Students for Democratic Society, and we're here to show that young people are not down for these occupations that our tax money is going towards, when we could be spending it on education, welfare, health care, bringing up, you know, the destitute, the poor, the working class.
I was amazed by a number of things that the president said last night, including the fact that every time he referred to the economic crisis, he referred to it in the past tense. He said we're in the wake of the worst economic crisis. We're not in the wake of it. The boat is hitting us on the head right now. We are in a terrible economic situation in this country, and every penny that's being spent on this war and the war in Iraq and all the militarism that this country is engaged in should be turned around and spent on rebuilding this country, building mass transit, building green energy. We have needs in this country that will put people to work, but instead, what's the jobs program we have? You know, the military is meeting all of its recruitment. All the branches of the military are meeting their recruitment goals. Why? Because there's no jobs. Where are kids supposed to go for jobs after they get out of school? They go into the military.
Sadly, we have not yet given up on the idea of American exceptionalism that allows us to believe we have a divine right to intervene in other people's countries. Not only in Afghanistan and Iraq, but in Palestine and Latin America, etc. We are outraged that we continue to spend this nation's debt that cannot be reversed and will leave all future generations with little hope for progress. We are outraged that we can spend another $10 billion on this immoral war while one out of every eight of our citizens gets food stamps, along with one out of every four of our children. We are outraged that this happens while 49 million of our fellow citizens suffer food shortages every single day. We are outraged that the average graduating student debt has now increased to $25,000 in 2008 from $18,000 in 2004. We are outraged that unemployment continues to increase, infant mortality increases, mortgage foreclosures increase, while the six largest bank holding companies continue to set aside billions for bonuses and salaries and are projected to achieve higher profits this year than in the year before the current recession. Just as we have had socialism for the rich and bloodthirsty capitalism for the rest of us, we now have recovery for the rich and increased deprivation for the rest of us.
We will keep opposing this war in every nonviolent way possible. We will urge elected representatives to cut all funding for war. Some of us will lead to withhold our taxes, practice civil resistance, and promote slowdowns and strikes at schools and workplaces. In short, President Obama, we will do everything in our power as nonviolent peace activists to build the kind of massive movement which today represents the feelings of a majority of the American people.
We have a responsibility politically, socially, and most of all morally to stand up, to fight back, to speak truth to power, no matter how radical that sounds, and organize everywhere we go to say no more, no more, no more. Thank you.
Those were some of the voices protesting the war escalation in Afghanistan at a rally held in Shenley Plaza on December 2nd.
In Pittsburgh's first snow of the year, Homestead's historic Steel Valley Christmas Parade drew 108 businesses and organizations from Steel Valley Girl Scout Troop 54204 and Homestead District Lions Club to Greg the Can Man and three times as many residents on a march down 8th Avenue in Homestead this past December 5th. Save Our Community Hospitals, an organization formed November 9, 2009, after University of Pittsburgh Medical Center announced the January closing of its Braddock facility, was invited to walk in the parade by parade organizer Denise Kelly on behalf of Betty Esper, Mayor of Homestead, Ray Bodner, Mayor of Munhall, and John Dindak, Mayor of West Homestead. Save Our Community Hospitals, or SOCH, SOCH, passed out candy to children and a fact sheet for adults while wishing the Homestead community a healthy new year. The action is a continuation of rallies and public appearances launched during regular Monday night planning meetings at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church across from UPMC Braddock. Residents and observers of the Steel Valley Christmas Parade expressed disbelief that UPMC Braddock decision was based on a loss of profit. A UPMC employee raises issues of accountability for the money that went in the UPMC system.
We had to wait a year and a half for a raise. I should have had a raise in June, okay? But I couldn't get it because we had to wait six extra months. So which means 6 months of money that I'm not going to get. But I guess that little bit of money helps them buy other hospitals. Senator from Upper St. Clair had an article in the paper the other day that he wants to know why they're not, they're still non-profit.
Oh, yeah, that's McCullough. He's the county council.
Okay.
He actually represents the whole county.
Right. He needs to find out.
David Hughes of both Citizen Power and the Coalition for Single Payer describes a truly publicly accountable hospital and outlines resident concerns.
I'm David Hughes, and I am executive director of Citizen Power, which is an energy and healthcare advocacy organization. I'm also on the board of directors of the Western Pennsylvania Coalition for Single Payer Healthcare. If we had a single payer system in the United States, we wouldn't have a situation where a hospital like Braddock would be closed by a private entity like UPMC. Because under a single-payer system, there would be coordination to ensure that the needs of the people are met in the communities around the United States. And so there would be a systematic approach to determine if a hospital has to stay open or not, what accessibility will people have if a hospital were to close and those kinds of things. So, for example, in the Braddock situation, it would be determined under a single-payer system that the closest hospital, if Braddock closes, is just too far away in an emergency situation. We've had people even in our own organization who claim that their relatives have survived emergency crises because of being able to go to Braddock. It's so quick and so close, and we're able to get stabilized fast enough to survive. Had they had to go 7 miles, 10 miles over to McKeesport or somewhere, they say their relatives would have died en route. So there's many people in Braddock who cannot afford to get to other communities like McKeesport and Monroeville or Shadyside. So it's critical that it stay open, and under a single-payer system, we wouldn't be facing this problem.
Yeah, yeah. Elementality. We're living out a state of mind. This is our story. It's just the beginning. Yeah. That's how it goes. Beaver. New Brunswick 2004. A new scene, my group's out to explore. Someone from Rutgers brought us out to perform. The first time I rocked out of New York, I can't begin to explain the gratitude I have for being there that exact day at that school. The magnitude's too much to grasp. Start at the top, cause you don't know the half. And this is just a fraction of the impact of how exactly you was instrumental to this kid's path. I met this cat who had a radio show. Show me love. So I came through the flow. Ended up staying the whole time. Coming back every other week to be a part of the whole vibe. Put me on his first CD in the whole nine. Didn't realize it was changing my whole life. Live, real time, beats, no rhymes. Everything fly, living out of state of mind. Living out of state of mind. Living out of state of mind. One more time, this is time. This is live, real time, NJNY. Everything fly, living out of state of mind. Living out of state of mind. Living out of state of mind. One more time, this is. The scene in MB was perfect. The outcome almost predetermined. Crazy. Just being who I am made me merge with a deeper purpose. Hidden beneath the surface. Dope radio coming right out of Rutgers, yeah. I know a few of y'all remember how it once was. Your boy DJ KO on the morning show.
Y'all niggas hate that we coming up. And you gon' sit there mad. You feel better just to take shots. Well, go ahead and throw the bombs, nigga. Hell yeah, niggas coming up. We doing shit you wish you had. And you still gonna take shots, nigga. Well, go ahead and throw the bombs.
They call me the Hitler of hip-hop. I'm here to make sure all of this shit stops. Niggas is quick with the lip talk. Surprised they don't stick with all that lip gloss. Consider this the genocide. Remember this when all your little friends begin to die. Vaporized. The career's the dead battery. Even the pink bunny couldn't energize. This isn't anti-Semitic. This is to make sure y'all get the message. Distress calls all through your mess halls. If you on that bus to the field trip, get off. I don't plan to leave any survivors. The police siren screaming, they're behind us. But I can't hear them for nothing. And all I can feel is my adrenaline pumping.
Y'all niggas hate that we coming up. And you gon' sit there mad. You feel better just to take shots. Well, go ahead and throw the bombs, nigga. Hell yeah, niggas coming up. We doing shit you wish you had. And you still gon' take shots, nigga. Well, go ahead and throw the bombs.
I roll in the night to the park. Construct dynamite in the dark. So what if it's too late? Cut the chains off. Joker to Two-Face, let's cause chaos. I'm an abomination, freak of nature, a combination between Screech and Slater, a mix of geek or athlete will break ya, won't know if it's peace or meat or maker. This isn't a threat to y'all, it's a promise, all bets is off. Lay down on the ground, knees, chest, and all. Turn your phone off, no time to text your moms. And I don't plan to leave no witnesses or snitches. To me, there is no difference. And there's no time for you to get out. Only a few seconds once I pull the pin out.
Y'all niggas hate that we coming up. And you gon' sit there mad. You feel better just to take shots. Well, go ahead and throw the bombs, nigga. Hell yeah, niggas coming up. We doing shit you wish you had, and you still gonna take shots, nigga. Well, go ahead and throw the bombs.
I have a platoon, not a crew. I run with soldiers, not goons. And what you have is not a clue about what all these men in camouflage came to do. There is a code of ethics, no women or children. My madness has a method, blueprints, diagrams, vivid imagery, ammo, ballistics, artillery, marksmen, suspect locked in. Word of advice to y'all, caution. Cause there is no safe zone. Why'd you even leave the house? Should've stayed home. It should've never came to violence. It's sort of like wrong place, perfect timing. To diss you isn't worth my rhyming. So the keys to your car, you'd be cursed to find them. Let's take them all out at one time. Plan well orchestrated like a drum line. Everybody gotta go sometime. Even bystanders who just came for a fun time.
Y'all niggas hate that we coming up. And you gon' sit there mad. You feel better just to take shots. But go ahead and throw the bombs, nigga.
All right, you're listening to the Midwest Indie Media Radio Hour with your host, Zach Riot. Right here in the studios of the Midwest Indie Media Radio Center, located on the west side of Cleveland, Ohio, and broadcasted to you around the world from various online and terrestrial radio stations. I'd like to thank Berkeley Liberation Radio once again. Big ups to Captain Fred for helping out and getting the show ran over there. And I'd also like to give another big ups to KDX Radio, which is broadcasting our show. Was it, I think, 7 o'clock p.m. out there in, what was it, prime time or whatever? And on the West Coast. And all those can listen around the world online at the KDX radio page. Just Google KDX radio and see what you get. As well as the A-Infos radio podcast, as well as our podcast at the Midwest Indie Media radio podcast. Okay, back into the show. Played some clips from the Pittsburgh Indie Media. And also I'd like to get into a couple things here. There was a protest in New York where 9 people arrested at a sit-in protest that was targeting Senator Schumer about the health professionals, patients who demand expansions of Medicare. On Monday, Senator Schumer of New York announced his support for an expansion of Medicare for those 55-year-olds and older. Activists say this is not enough. The Mobilization for Healthcare Now launched another wave of protests in its campaign demanding a national single-payer system in the United States. On Thursday, December 10th, demonstrations occurred at the office buildings housing senators' offices in 16 states, not including today. 35 sit-ins have been organized in a 2-month period. Chanting, 55 is not enough, Medicare for all. 9 protesters were arrested at a sit-in at Senator Schumer's office in Midtown Manhattan this morning. referring to Schumer's push to lower Medicare age eligibility to 55, advocates for Medicare for All state that opening it up to only one portion of the population is not enough and will not begin to tackle the real culprit of skyrocketing costs, the whole healthcare system, private health insurance. Quote, "We need to spread out the risk pool and take out the profit motive of private healthcare insurance. That's the only way to cover everyone and control costs," says Lori Wen, an organizer at Healthcare Now, which organized the action. Those arrested include patients who have experienced abuse from private health insurance companies, as well as doctors, a nurse, and a medical student. Senator Schumer has been the center of attention since news broke Tuesday evening that Democrats had reached a broad agreement on certain parts of the Senate health care reform bill. He led negotiations among a group of 10 liberal and moderate Democrats, which are a key proposal to emerge to lower the age eligibility of Medicare from 65 to 55. Bev Rice, a retired nurse who was arrested, says, quote, "Throughout my career, I've seen so many people suffer and die prematurely because insurance companies denied the health care that they needed. I have Medicare and it works. Making Medicare available to people from age 55 on is a step in the right direction, but it's not enough. It should be open to everybody," end of quote. Quote, "I want a publicly funded healthcare system because my life should not be in the hands of insurance CEOs who profit from denying me care," end of quote, says Kate Bernhardt, whose doctor ordered a brain scan for a tumor in early September, but the procedure's approval has been repeatedly delayed by her insurance company. Bernhardt was one of 17 people arrested at a September sit-in protesting against the insurance company's frequent and sometimes deadly practice of denying care. Quote, "I have been paying $900 a month for my premium," she says. "Last week, my insurance company terminated my policy. Does my senator think this is okay?" End of quote. Medicare was established in 1965 and has since become one of the most popular government programs. It's financed through taxes, and seniors have the freedom to choose their doctors. Advocates say a Medicare for All system is the most cost-effective way to deliver health care. Quote, "It's very simple. You take out the private middleman, and what do you get?" Ask another arrestee, Dr. Lori Bolin, referring to the private healthcare insurance industry. Quote, "$400 billion worth of profits, CEO salaries, stock options, and administrative waste," end of quote. A neurologist who is a member of Physicians for a National Health Program, Dr. Bolin, sums it up. Quote, "Expansion of Medicare to everyone will save money and lives. We'd all be better off," end of quote. The New York sit-in was organized by Mobilization for Healthcare for All, a national civil disobedience campaign advocating for a Medicare for All system. The campaign has organized over 35 sit-ins across the country in the last 2 months. And on December 10th, the International Human Rights Day, 20 actions are taking place at senators' offices in 16 states and Washington, D.C. For a complete list, participating cities, see www.mobilizeforhealthcare.org/upcoming/actions. That's www.mobilizeforhealthcare.org/upcoming actions. Also in the news, here is an excerpt from an author on Obama's war speech, the questions it raises. "These military forces will not be ongoing to Afghanistan to set up vaccination programs or conduct literary classes for Afghan girls. They are going there as part of the most destructive military machine on the planet." to wreak violence, the military machine that has bombed wedding parties, that has held thousands of young Afghan men in Bagram prison without charges, that kicks down doors in the middle of the night. This system is being strengthened and further unleashed. The West Point speech is being called for defining moment of Obama's presidency. Thus far into his term, at least this is true. So it is important to look deeply at the questions Obama posed and the answers he gave, and in doing so, to get into the real underlying causes of the military escalation now being put into effect. Now, the question is, why is the U.S. Army in Afghanistan in the first place? Let's see. Obama began his speech this way, quote, "It is important to recall why America and our allies were compelled to fight a war in Afghanistan in the first place. We did not ask for this fight. On September 11th of 2001, 19 men hijacked four airplanes and used them to murder nearly 3,000 people. They struck at our military and economic nerve centers. As we know, these men belong to an Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's base of all operations was in Afghanistan, where they were harbored by the Taliban, a ruthless, repressive, and radical movement that seized control of that country after it was ravaged by years of Soviet occupation and civil war. And after that, the attention of America and our friends has turned elsewhere." Obama later returned to his explanation of why the Taliban and Al-Qaeda has taken root in Afghanistan. Quote, "Now, the people of Afghanistan have endured violence for decades. They have been confronted with occupation by the Soviet Union, and then by foreign Al-Qaeda fighters who use an Afghan land for their own purposes." Obama implies that in the U.S. had nothing to do with the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, that it bears no responsibility for the growth of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda there, or the spread of Islamic fundamentalism in the region, according to Obama. The U.S. itself therefore played no role in the events that led to the attacks of 9/11. And we're going to pause there because we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Midwest Indie Media Radio Hour.
Shots going down like you never did know. Coming pow, pow, like the sounds of your stereo. Down like you never did know, no. My shots going down like you never did know.
Down like it never did. No.
We're back here on the Midwest Indie Media Radio Hour. And as previously, for those just tuning in, we were talking about, basically we were breaking down Obama's speech that he made just a bit ago. And in this speech, leave off talking about the Carter administration and how they undertook their operations at the time with the U.S. that was locked in a bitter struggle for global supremacy amongst the Soviets. Now, during the 1980s, there were some Afghans fighting against the Soviet occupation who opposed religious fundamentalism and both U.S. and Soviet imperialism. They stood for entirely different future and a future free of imperialist domination. Free relations and ideology that keeps most of Afghan people in shackles, especially women. And these forces were led by Afghanistan's revolutionary Maoists. Yet these forces were targeted viciously and murderously by all reactionary forces involved in Afghan conflict. The U.S. imperialists, the Soviet imperialists, the Islamic Mujahideen, and the U.S.-backed warlords. It's just a bit of history in the past. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go back into talking about Obama's speeches. And I'm asking you if we need another 9/11 style unity again here in the United States. Sees that Obama, he ended his speech with a stark assessment of difficulties confronting the empire, and he called for the kind of support the rulers had filed for 9/11. And I quote, "We as a country cannot sustain our leadership nor navigate the momentous challenges of our time if we allow ourselves to be split asunder by the same rancor and cynicism and partisanship that has recent times poisoned our national discourse. It's easy to forget that when this war began, we were united." "We were united, bound together by the fresh memory of a horrific attack and by determination to defend our homeland and the values that we hold dear. I refuse to accept the notion that we cannot summon that unity again." End of quote. And that is a quote from Barack Obama's speech they made not too long ago. Unity, like we all had after 9/11, if you recall, that was a time of a lynch mob atmosphere of chauvinistic hysteria, fear-mongering, and the suppression of any critical thinking about why the 9/11 attacks happened in the first place, and also what should be done about them. And any critical resistance to the crimes the U.S. Empire was preparing before our eyes, wars were launched on the basis of lies, basic freedoms were severely truncated, and in some cases eliminated. Now, 8 years later, after horrors of what the unity and support for America brought to the world over millions of dead people in Iraq, legalized torture, and the devastation of Afghanistan, why would anyone with a shred of concern for humanity want to repeat that chapter in U.S. history? But that's precisely what Barack Obama has called on people to do: blindly get behind the empire as it is violently forges ahead in Afghanistan and globally. Obama's course is a criminal course: to fall blindly behind this, or to merely express trepidation or opposition and then impotently shrug your shoulders, especially for those who knew better when Bush did the same, is nothing less than complicity. The answer that must be given, folks, is that people need to do just the opposite. We need pointed to the fundamentally antagonistic interests worldwide and within this country, concealed the obscure by talk of we the people and by the chauvinistic notion that American lives are more valuable than those of other people. The imperialists are pursuing their interests, and we've had 8 years to see where all this leads, whoever the president is. It is time and past time to see what these interests are directly opposed to of those of humanity as a whole, and to take up the fight for larger interests. Obama has spoke to the truth when he said America was passing through time of great trial and in the midst of storms. These storms are due to the workings of imperialism and the whole cauldron of contradictions the U.S. war on terror has set roiling in the Middle East and Central Asia in particular, as well as to the most profound financial crisis since the 1930s. I mean, let's just think about it, folks. How many people do you know who are being laid off? I mean, it's just more and more people. Our unemployment has gone up over 10%. Now, he has stated in the past, especially during the time when he was trying to get elected as president, that he would dramatically lower our unemployment rate here in the United States. And by the first year alone, that it would rise up to 10%, but never rise anything above it. And also, I'd like to just announce that our United States government has not even released any true official numbers of the employment rate here in the United States. But yet the crime rate has gone up, and we focus way too much time, money, and attention to what's going on in Afghanistan by fighting a war, and it's further devastating our own economy. We can't afford a war in Afghanistan or anywhere by any means necessary. Me personally, I feel that we should take the money that we have here in the United States, especially from this upcoming surplus in money from this holiday that we're having, so-called Christmas, or many of the other holidays, that basically it's set forth to increase the amount of money that goes into the treasury here in the United States so I can fund more money towards a war in Afghanistan. And if that's what you want, well, go ahead, spend up all the money that you have, all in the name of a capitalist Christmas. Well, I'm going to get ready to end this program, but before I do, I'm going to give you the link to our website. You can go to the Midwest Indie Media Radio official website at freewebs.com/WJAM. So yeah, go there. You could submit your news, which could be read here on the Midwest Indie Media Radio programming. And if you want to become a comrade and join the Midwest Indie Media, you can contact me at accesshardware@yahoo.com. This is Zach Wright. You were listening to the Midwest Indie Media Radio programming from the west side of Cleveland, Ohio. I'm out of here. Ups to the rebels, and big ups to all those who are joining in solidarity on the indie media front.
Mm-hmm.